The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, 'Where are you?' And he said, 'I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.' He said, 'Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?' The man said, 'The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.' The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Serpent, because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and the dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel.' To the woman he said, 'I will surely multiply your pain in childbearing. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you.' And to Adam he said, 'Because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return.' The man called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins, and clothe them." This is the word of the Lord.
The Lord will command his angels concerning you to guard you.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 4. "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. You may be seated. Jesus overcame Satan. That can't be overstated. It can't be overemphasized. And just as the outcome was never in doubt, it's known for certain what this all means for you. You have the victory and the righteousness of Jesus who overcame the devil. For your life, that's the truth and the reality you have as you face temptation as a baptized child of God. And so St. Matthew recorded for you by divine inspiration, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." So here we have it. Right after the baptism of Jesus, he went, or as Mark's account has it, he was thrown into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. The Lord himself, Jesus, faced temptation in this world. And so long as you are in this world, you will face temptation. It's not a matter of if, but when temptation attacks. And if that wasn't enough to know that you will face temptation, it's a battle fought on various fronts. There are three sources of temptation which attack you: your old Adam, your sinful flesh, the world, and the devil. So you have all three of these at work, some stronger than others at various points in your life or various circumstances, but the danger is still all the same. And so God calls you to fight against temptation and not to give in to its enticements. Now, perhaps this makes you feel a bit uneasy to start thinking about this, because a great deal of this struggle is internal. The sinful heart is the seedbed for so many vile, heinous, and shameful things the world has ever seen and even not seen. Thinking about temptation also makes one easy, because it calls you to a new life that's different than what temptation is seeking to lure you into and live. The Christian life is different than a life which lives and delights in sin. The Christian life is a life of freedom to live in accord with what God teaches you, as opposed to being a slave to sin. And so God warns you. He warns you and he calls you to repentance, for unrepentant sin and faith do not exist together. The Bible teaches this in various places, such as 1 John 3. When St. John writes, whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason for the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God makes a practice of sinning, for God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. So the Christian life then is a struggle. The struggle against sin is a struggle that doesn't resign itself to defeat and delights in sin, but rather it keeps fighting against that old sinful man, keeps fighting against the sinful world, and keeps fighting against the devil. But you see, the tools by which you do this are the Word of God, the sacraments, and prayer. This is what Christians do, and this is what God calls you to do. You are to fight and resist temptation and to flee those things which seek to draw you into sin and away from God, all before it's too late. In the Large Catechism, we confess that we Christians must be armed and daily expect to be constantly attacked. No one may go on in security and carelessly as though the devil were far from us. At all times, we must expect and block his blows. Though I am now chaste, patient, kind, and in firm faith, the devil will this very hour send such an arrow into my heart that I can scarcely stand. For he is an enemy that never stops or becomes tired. So when one temptation stops, there always arise others and fresh ones. So there is no help or comfort except to run here, take hold of the Lord's Prayer, and speak to God from the heart like this. Dear Father, you have asked me to pray. Don't let me fall because of temptations. Then you will see that the temptations must stop and finally confess themselves conquered. If you try to help yourself by your own thoughts and counsel, you will only make the matter worse and give the devil more space, for he has a serpent's head. If it finds an opening into which it can slip, the whole body will follow without stopping. But prayer can prevent him and drive him back. And so that vivid image of the devil like a serpent creeping in and going in. Temptation is real. The devil is real. Sin is real. Be warned. And Christians can fall away from the faith and be lost eternally. So that's a real and deadly danger for each of you sitting here right now on this first Sunday in Lent. So don't underestimate the seriousness of this all and think that you can grow complacent or apathetic or think that you can stand on your own. Now you do well to remember that you, in Christ, have the power over temptation, sin, and the devil, but they are still dangerous. A dog behind a fence can't bite you, but if you jump over and wander into the yard, you are the one to blame and get hurt or worse. Where we lived in Iowa, there was little fences, and my kids are petrified of dogs. And we would always walk by them, and the dogs would come up, you know, right, yapping and barking and all those things. But then they would run up to the fence and smack into the fence, right? But what happens if you jump over the fence? You're fair game, right? Martin Luther once famously said regarding temptation, in a sense, which he says, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. That's a very helpful and well to think about temptation in this life as someone who is a baptized child of God, who's set free from the slavery of sin. Don't let a nest be built in your hair. And likewise, don't give the birds the twigs to build it either. So don't play with fire, as the saying goes, you will get burned. Instead, pray as one who is baptized into Christ, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So listen again to what your Lord Jesus did when he was tempted by the devil. Learn from him and take comfort in what he did as he did for you. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again, it is written, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. So hear what your Lord has done, and take to heart what Jesus teaches you, and see what and what you see with Jesus. God's word is to be that on which you feast daily and find your sustenance for life. Hear, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the word of God as one who is baptized into Christ, who is united with him and covered with his righteousness and all that that entails, including his faithfulness, including his perfect obedience to the Father, which did not nor could not fall into temptation and the crafts and the assaults of the devil. See the importance of memorizing scripture. See the importance of knowing and learning your catechism. There's a reason why as pastors, we teach the catechumens to memorize these things, not because we're sick and sadistic and want to see them squirm. Well, there's maybe a part of that, but also we know that there's benefit in it, right? You fight back the devil. You confess what God reveals to you. See and use these weapons against the devil, the world, and your fallen flesh. This is what it means to remember your baptism daily by turning from sin and desiring to live the new life you have in Christ. And part of this new life is using those fruit of the Spirit you have, which are things like goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Wisdom and discernment, too, come from being a student of God's word, being a disciple, and living it out in your life. And how this plays out practically is it for you to always fix your eyes on Christ and to be hearing his word. And don't put yourself into situations where you will be led into temptation. Because remember, what's one of the sources of temptation? Your own fallen flesh. Don't put yourself in those places that will try to take you away from Christ and his word. Receive the Lord's Supper regularly. Confess your sin to your pastor. Receive absolution. Surround yourself with good Christian friends who themselves are doing these things as well and rejoicing in the fellowship that you have together as the Holy Spirit has gathered you together as his holy people. And examine your life too and know where you struggle, know where the danger and where sin crouch at the door seeking to devour you. This is where self-control and wisdom come into play. The classic example, an alcoholic knows not to walk into a bar and order a drink. Someone struggling with sexual sin doesn't put himself into situations that can get out of hand. So this is war, so know the tactics of your sinful flesh. Know the tactics of the fallen world around you. Know the tactics of the devil, and don't be an easy prey, and don't be a flat-out sitting duck with a big target on your head and arrows flashing, pointing, saying, here I am, ready for attack. That's not what you've learned from Christ, and not what you've been called to be as a baptized child of God. 1 Corinthians 10:13 is one of those often misquoted passages of Scripture that everyone quotes and thinks they know what they're quoting, but it applies here in really saying regarding temptation. Everybody says God won't give you what you handle or can't handle or whatever it is, but this is what it really says. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. And so God is the one who delivers you, even as he has taught you to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Dear people of God, those words of the introit today speak volumes to you about who you are as a Christian facing temptation and who your God is as you face them. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, No evil shall be allowed to befall you, no plague come near your tent. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. So what does this all mean? So here's the thing. View temptation through Christ's victory and see his rebuke of the devil. Notice how Jesus quotes the Bible to the devil, who the devil himself quotes scripture, but he cherry-picks what he wants. He quotes from that psalm about he will command his angel concerning you, but the devil conveniently leaves out the part about you will tread upon the adder, that you'll tread upon the serpent. I don't think he likes that part of that psalm. And Jesus fights off the devil with God's word. So in that first temptation to make stone loaves of bread, Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 8 about man living by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And really, there's a whole context and story to this, which is assumed any time the Old Testament is quoted in the Gospels or other parts of the New Testament. So as you're contemplating and meditating on all of this morning, hear this from Deuteronomy 8, spoken to the people of Israel, that Jesus refers to, and see it in terms of you facing temptation and what this means that Christ has endured it and overcome it. Moses writes, "And you shall remember the whole way the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of wines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper, and you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given to you." And so the discipline of Jesus is the discipline of the Father to his Son, and you are sons of God through faith in Christ. So even as you face temptation, see what the result and outcome is, and what your future is as you fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. So you see in Christ that you have the victory won for you and given to you. And he gives it to you today, even as your sin is forgiven, as you are baptized into Christ, if you have those words of absolution, if you eat and drink his own body and blood given and shed for you. And not only that, but know that your God strengthens you, he preserves you, he guards and keeps you as his own through these means. And your heavenly Father holds before your eyes Jesus, who in weakness, who in hunger, and in great suffering is the one whose life is always fully righteous and obedient to the Father and the law of God. Adam failed. The people in the wilderness who came out of Egypt failed. You and your life have failed. But you see, Jesus did not, nor could he fail, for he is the Son of God, and baptized into Christ, his victory is your victory. The first Adam fell, the second Adam was faithful. Your old Adam is unrighteous, the second Adam, Jesus, is your righteousness. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, take comfort today in Jesus. Temptation for you is something in which you have the victory in Christ, and you have the promises of God to take care of you now and the future rest and glory to come. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, you are praying as one who belongs to Christ and one who is covered with his righteousness. The very one who is perfectly obedient has overcome the devil, died for your sin, and gives you the victory over death itself, is the same God, as the reading from the Hebrew says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence Draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So Jesus sees you in your suffering. Jesus sympathizes with you. Jesus prays for you at the throne of God. And Jesus shows you mercy. And that's all for you, dear people of God. Baptized into Christ, your sin is forgiven, and you do have the very real victory over sin, the very real victory over death, the very real victory over the devil himself. Rejoice in Christ who gives this all to you freely and fully, and thank him for this new life, this new hope, this new strength, and the Lord will sustain you now until that day when you stand before him face to face in the glory that will not end, and the glory when you are raised to immortality, when temptation is no more, when death is no more, when sin is no more, and you and all of God's saints live in that glorious new creation forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.